Thank you. Excellent. Okay, your top three marketing strategies for Jake and Tarquin. You've appointed Michael as the MD. How did you get landed with that?
There's a mutiny.
Top three marketing strategies for magnetism for Jake and Tarquin.
Advertising the trade press, that was the first thing.
Okay, trade press being?
Doctors, what? Journals.
Okay.
NHS stuff, magazines.
Yep.
Try and organise seminars, meetings, when they have, when they finish their shift or about to start their shift.
Okay. Anything else?
On a particular subject. Do an e-magazine to them as well, if we can get hands on the email addresses, that is.
Okay. All right. So that's for a particular niche market. And this team, who's the MD here?
Still, I've not been demoted yet. We were going to go to points of influence for endorsements, testimonials from existing clients. We decided to try and keep it as inexpensive as possible because we didn't want to create a massive marketing budget initially.
Okay.
Considering we're getting rid of 400 or so clients. We are going to be changing perception by abandoning services and clients.
Right.
The networking was the other one. The main one.
Okay. And networking, where would that be? Who are you trying to attract again? Networking where?
Yeah, it's in the Reading Chamber of Commerce.
Reading Chamber of Commerce. Thank you. Who's MD here?
We're a co-op.
Step number one, instructions for the day, 10 a.m. Choose MD. Go on.
Going forward, I think it's the first thing for these guys is to learn how to network and create alliances. So they've obviously got an existing client bank. We all have group memberships of various bits and pieces.
Right.
Potentially, we've got introducers.
So can you hear?
Yeah.
Struggling.
Introducers and things like that, potentially. So they've got to learn to get out there and develop it by word of mouth.
Okay, what do I mean by like? Be very careful about this. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we're just winding up now. What do I mean by alliances? What's an alliance? And why does 1 plus 1 equal 111 or whatever? What do I mean by an alliance?
One person, they're going to introduce you to a lot of other people.
What kind of people? What would be an alliance for you? How do you define an alliance?
It works both ways. It works both ways. The referral system works both ways.
Okay. What else would define an alliance?
It's someone that buys into what you do. Somebody who's really on your side. For me, it's solicitors. And basically they are a point of influence and they will refer. So spending time with them, networking with them on a regular basis is...
Yeah, an alliance normally, and this has got nothing to do with being a financial planner or financial advisor, an alliance in business is somebody who's really, really good at something you're not. That's one criterion, okay? Buys into your culture, and this is not about networking with potential clients. This is about other professionals who are just brilliant at something you're not brilliant at. And when the two of you get together, not in business, but on business, kind of on project business, like seminars or whatever it may be, your combined weight is more than 1 plus 1. And you get two or three alliances going, and it becomes incredibly powerful. So part of the reason for networking in business has got nothing to do with winning clients. And most IFAs just don't seem to get this. So Phil Calvert could be a competitor of mine because he does this in different subjects. But I don't view Phil like that. I view Phil as a really, really interesting alliance partner. And we'll use each other for different projects, something that will benefit both of us. But it's got to be a win-win. So an alliance is all about somebody who's strong in something that you're not, and you work with them from time to time. You're not in business with them. That gets really dangerous. You work them from time to time when it's convenient for both of you, where getting together is more than 1 plus 1. Getting together just creates something phenomenally bigger than either of you could do by yourself. I don't care how many staff you've got. That's an alliance. get your head around that as a business leader and keep your eyes open for that kind of thing. So clearly a professional introducer is a useful alliance. You could work together literally for projects and create something that by yourselves you would not create. And IFA struggle with this one. Other businesses find it a norm to work with people who are not part of your business in an alliance for a project or for a period or for a purpose. Does that make sense? It's very powerful because you just don't have the time, money and effort to go and recruit skills into your business. You just haven't got the time. And most of you don't want to do it anyway, do you? Which is why you're working by yourselves with maybe one or two support staff. But an alliance is so powerful. Peter Lisney, I hire him, but he's also an alliance. We do things outside of our relationship to do something else that I'm not paying him for in alliance. Does that make sense? And so forth. So Michelle Hoskin, who I brought into a workshop recently, she's all about systems and processes for IFAs. I'm not paying her. She's not paying me. We get together for an alliance and then we part. But when we're together, we're very powerful. So we're going to see one of our executive mentoring clients soon together. We'll be in the office on the same day together, creating a threesome with a client that will be so powerful. We're just so excited about it because Michelle can do stuff, you know, I'm just no good at. Think about it, alliances. All right, let's begin to wind up. Oh, one other factor on price, not time. Don't charge fees according to your time. Why not?
Time is limited.
Yeah.
And it's relative, isn't it?
So all sorts of reasons for this, and lots of people would argue against it, but my view is, of the world, charging fees for your time. I don't mean you shouldn't, you've got to cost out your time. You know, don't end up doing £30 an hour jobs if you're a £250 an hour consultant. That's just bad business. That means you can't delegate or you don't know how to outsource and you need to learn. Don't do £30 an hour jobs if you're a £250 per hour advisor. That's just lazy delegation. Good business people don't do that. But if you charge for your time, you're just trapped. You're just trapped because you can't. It's finite. You can't ever really charge for your value. Nicola Down said something the other day. She said, and the better and faster you get, the less you earn. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it's true.
As I get better, I earn less.
Yes.
Now, Stuart can sit there saying, yep, because he works within a solicitor's structure. The group is a solicitor group, so Stuart knows how they think. And the faster you go and the better you get, the less you earn.
Yeah.
Per job.
I haven't tweaked that at all. As I see, what the most incompetent solicitors do every job for the business.
Make a fortune.
Yeah. Because I'm getting...
And they just haven't clicked on to that simple fact.
Yeah.
And it's nationwide.
The better I get at my job, the less I earn per project. What?
So am I missing something here? How does that work?
Well, works against you. Yeah, so why would you do it? Just doesn't make sense.
If you charge them £100 an hour, it takes you 6 hours to do that person, then you get better at it. The next one only takes 4 hours to do, you're only going to charge them £400.
Yeah. And then it becomes a question of integrity because, oh blimey, I've just worked out, I'm getting better and faster at this, and I'm at half my fee, so how do I get my fee back to what it was when I was incompetent.
That's what you wrote up, don't you?
I
think if you get a surgeon, I mean, the more experience he gets and the quicker he does at getting operations, I'm sure he doesn't charge less.
Yeah.
He gets the same amount, if not more.
Yeah. So charging for the outcome.
Just more operations.
Yeah. So the whole point about time is, it's got nothing, it's not a value to the client. What's the value to the client is the result, the outcome. So you charge for the value you're delivering to the life of the human being. So let's begin to wind up. I'm tired. You're even more tired than I am. But we've been through a lot today, and there's a lot in the workbook for you to go through, but I've tried to write it so it's self-explanatory. I've touched upon things like delivering an experience, not a product or a service, and most of you understand what that's all about, don't you? Some of you commented on the meal today. You know what? I could have got away with a lot less cost on this day by not having that kind of meal. We don't eat half of it, but it's just the experience. For a few quid more per head, why not just let's have the experience of a really nice meal when we're absolutely exhausted, or when we're hungry, or whatever it may be. And you need to think about, do I want to deliver a service, or do I want to deliver an experience? One of the funniest ones I ever heard came from Steve Sumner, when he came up with a year ago, and we clean their car as part of the service. I'm not sure how often Steve does that, but he tried it. Whilst the client was waiting in the meeting, he had the car valeted, with the presumably permission of the client. It's just a few quid, but the impact of the experience on the client was more than a few quid. It was wow. I remember taking a client, and there's a couple of pages at least in the workbook about continuous communication. Absence really does not make the heart grow fonder. But be careful about your communication process. And I've given you masses of ideas on a couple of pages in the back of the workbook. Lots and lots of ideas. One of the best client experiences I ever had was when I took, over a couple of years, a number of top clients to the Albert Hall. It didn't cost very much. And we hired a box. Okay? Looked a bit posh. My wife thought it was amazing. She'd never been in a box before, the Albert Hall. Well, we don't drink, but the caviar came and the smoked salmon and all the rest of it. And the client was a group financial director, so he gets, you know, taken all over the place. So he's used to all this, but he never got taken to the Albert Hall by a financial planner before. To him, it was big corporates that did this kind of stuff, not a little financial planner. And he didn't know we were national, it's relevant to him. And it didn't cost much, it really didn't, a few quid. 10 years later, he still remembers it. Me and my son, with you in the Albert Hall and your wife, wasn't that a night? I said, yeah, it was great. Rugby matches, cricket matches, football, you know, whatever the client likes, a ticket or two really is not going to break you. And the memories are amazing. I have to tell you, it's a heck of a lot better than your blooming annual, your quarterly report, most of which doesn't get read and ends up in a cabinet somewhere, or in a drawer, or in the bin. And I have to say, I'm not sure, I don't understand this quarterly report strategy. Many advisors, including some of you, do send quarterly reports on investment, and I know clients like to see stuff, it kind of makes them feel good. But I sense that's there's something gone wrong with the education of the client. If I've said to you as a client, do not panic, okay, on this equity investment, that's what we're talking about, because this is a 3 to 5 year absolute minimum strategy, and it's more like a lifetime, and we'll review allocation and what have you from time to time. I'm not sure why telling a person quarterly about a 5 year strategy sends the right message. Now, I think they should have access to the information if they really want it, and some of them love it. They love crawling all over the data. I'm just worried about some of the messages you're sending out with some of your reports in sending short-term reports about a long-term event. I'm confused about that message. And to me, that's a calf path job. Because everybody else does it, you think you have to do it to justify your fee. And by this stage in today's conversation, you should not be in a position of having to justify your fee with quarterly reports. You should be way past that by the end of today. Way past it. I don't mean you shouldn't communicate regularly. I think 12 touches a year, you know, a touch of some sort, is appropriate, of some sort. But watch what you're saying in your touch, particularly on a 5 year plus journey where you've said, do not panic, and you know, leave it alone for 5 years, but I keep reporting on core camp. I just think the message is skewed. I just don't think those two things fit together. And I think you're doing it to justify something. And I'm not sure you should be in a justification position. I think that is a weak business position to be in. And I think the education you've given of your client is the wrong education. The expectation is inappropriate, in my personal view. You might want to take that away and just chew that over between you. Let's just summarise. Why are we doing all this? Maybe you don't want to earn high fees. Maybe you just want to stack them high and have a telephone sales team and service them by telephone and, you know, just charge ordinary fees. And that's fine, because there are some really successful groups that do that. Maybe you want to be Hargreaves Lansdown and just whack it out. If you talk to Hargreaves Lansdown directors, as I've done, within the first two sentences the word marketing comes out. They're not an IFA. And to criticise them as if they were is missing the whole point. They're a marketing company, and that's why they turn over tens of millions of pounds, because they're absolutely flipping brilliant at it. And if you think they're an IFA, you don't understand Hargreaves Lansdown. They're masters at marketing. They've decided their business strategy and they stick to it. They couldn't give a monkey's what you think, because you don't run the business. Don't care what you think, it's irrelevant. They stick to their business strategy, and you should do the same, in my view. The reason I've created today was to allow you to do a couple of things. To be paid what you're really worth, because you're underpaid. I just think you're better than this. I just think there's so much skill in this room, so much professional capability. And also, I want you to be paid for changing lives. That's why we focused on outcome, outcome, outcome. The outcome should be, why do this stuff unless you change the condition of somebody's life? I remember talking to Richard about this, and you know, Richard feels passionate about what the influence he has on people's lives. I sense some of you do too. And the Soul Millionaire and the Advisor Gym is all about, I want to be surrounded by people who are passionate about the influence they have on the conditions in people's lives and changing them for the better. And if you do that correctly, you'll get paid very, very highly for it. And if they take product commission away, which is always possible, because product providers are getting seriously squeezed, and in Europe they don't play this game. They think we're really weird playing the game that we do and being paid in the way that we do. This is a really weird structure to most Europeans. This is just completely nonsense. Only Anglophiles think this way and behave in this way in business, in the financial services field. We are outlaws. We're on the edge. And if we ever get pushed into the middle, well, product commissions are not a problem you've got. Because if you're building your business on that, you're stuffed. My marketing consultant does not get paid on product commission. Nor does my financial mentor, nor does my business mentor. They learn how to charge a really good fee and get paid highly for the value they deliver to my life. And you should too, because you're as good as any of them. And the only reason you're not is because you've been sucked into the world of the product provider and they've set conditions and you've been mesmerized and hypnotized by it all until your whole life is leaning on their business. And their business is in trouble.
That's what... Are you saying that we should be concerned about trail income from funds under management?
Where does trail income come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah.
The annual management charge.
Who provides that?
Yeah.
You just need to watch it, Fred. You're all assuming that these guys are all going to be in business in the same way they're currently in business. And if you look at the last 5 years, half of them that were there 5 years ago, and you talk to Richard about what was there 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and most of them are gone. So it's, the assumption in business terms is just not a clever assumption. It doesn't make any sense. You're hanging on to a tail of somebody that's in trouble. And if I were you, I'd learn quickly what every consultant on the planet learns from the beginning of their business. How do I understand what the value needs to be delivered, what they eagerly want, deliver the value and get paid highly for it. It's not complicated, but it is difficult. It's not easy, and that's why you're working so hard on this journey. But it is the norm in the rest of the world. We're just abnormal. And we need to recognise it and start playing a new game. Not because it's morally better, but because it's about survival and being paid what you're really, really worth. That's what we're all about. On services, thank you for raising that early on today. There will be a range of new services with appropriate fees being launched in January. You'll be communicated that to you. Your existing fees will not change, but there will be new services and platforms. I have a real struggle. I gave this team a really hard time because they were first when we're talking about the fees and the client journey, and it got easier and easier as I went round the room. So I'm a bit struggling with this competition business. Yeah. I was hard on you, got easier on them, and then easier on them. So I'm flummoxed. I have to deliver the package to each person, don't I? So each of you will get a copy of the marketing workshops, all three of them on audio, be delivered to your office over the next couple of weeks, hopefully before Christmas Day, if that's okay with you, Gary. Just to remind you, the executive mentoring clients, however long you've been with me, will get the whole package, hopefully before Christmas Day, of the whole, what's it called, the IFA Client Attraction Formula. 400 hours worth of work in that. You'll get that as part of your service. The classic clients will get that initially. Once you've been with me for a year, you'll get the CD version of all of that. Okay. So new stuff happening. I know I keep talking about the online program, and it's just been a nightmare. But you've been seeing the blogs coming. That was actually, there have been 20 videos all developed for the online program on Decided Tech. I'm not waiting for this stuff. I'm just going to get these up on YouTube and launch them. So that will be free stuff to the world, which will eventually be part of the program as well. But we've created another 6 videos. Been told they're too long, so we're dividing them into 30 videos, and we're undergoing that. By Christmas, we'll have 2 streams ready. One will be a marketing stream and one will be a strategy stream, and you'll be beta testing that early in the new year. It'll be look rubbish initially, but it'll get better and better and better before we market it to the world. It'll be delivered to the world in March. There's all sorts of things happening as you're getting on with your business. Any questions before we close today on what we've been talking about today? You're brain dead, aren't you? You're tired. This is a lot. Before you fill in the feedback sheet on page 52, which is really important, and you're right, Richard, this is pretty slim survey, but it's a start.
Well, that survey.
Oh, incidentally, Catherine, did you watch Nigel's video? You didn't watch the video. Did you read it? Read the article?
Yeah.
How did I know Catherine read the article of Nigel Barker-Smith? How did I know that?
Because she put it on your website.
Yeah, and I could track her. I could track her going all the way through the website.
Well, you obviously missed my hint.
A number of other of you. Okay, before you fill in the feedback sheet, I need to ask you a question and I need some help from you. Bearing in mind that some guests are paying up to £297 to attend the workshop, depending upon when they booked and what they're booking for, up to £97 per workshop. I want you to write down, don't have to please me, it's irrelevant, what do you think the value of that product is? That's 3 workshops, all the audios, all the workbooks, full transcript of every single word said on the audio in the workshop, as a package. What do you think the value of that is? Bear in mind that one workshop costs up to £297 now.
How are they working in such a way that you can then take them on and do things with them?
You tell me, what do you think, what would you pay for that if you were had never been to one of these workshops, or you'd been to one but you'd never been to a marketing workshop, and you wanted the whole marketing formula in one package. Where you put that figure on the feedback sheet? You don't have to please me by putting a big figure. It's whatever you think, blimey, to get that, I'd pay X. And then please fill in the feedback sheet with some good comment. Good means it's honest and it helps me improve. Peter suggests it's somewhere between £500 and £800 in his experience as a marketing consultant. I didn't think it was as much as that, but I'm listening. Good. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. It would have been kind of weird without you. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your crazy ideas. So Michael and Charlotte and Sean and Gary should expect something in the post from me sometime in the next 2 weeks. And obviously, Charlotte, you've got to value it. If you're valuing it, you know what the value is. Good. I just wish you a wonderful Christmas, and thank you for helping the Advisor Gym be what it is during the course of 2009. I've had great fun. I'm exhausted, but I've had great fun working with you. I just want you to create the businesses you really dream of, and that's what I'm here for. So my desire for next year is to help you do just that. Thank you so much, and safe journey home. Thank you.